Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Invasion Wrap Up Podcast for episode 6. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
You know, I was, like, so ready to have a reaction that I did from 2 weeks ago. I loved this episode. I do, however, have to start out with some grade A bitching right off the top, because I know we are in a tight timeline today, a lot to get to. But I went to check our reviews, and normally I take a strict don't feed the trolls policy, and I've taken a lot of shit, some that I completely agree with, so amazing, and I appreciate that feedback, some that I think is sexist bullshit, and I take that, amazing, thank you, and some that is just so markedly untrue that I can't fucking let it go. I am too damn tired from everything I've had to do to get on this podcast today. And my resentment for you, this one listener, grows so large that I have to open the podcast with it. We got a review. I can't even let you talk, Brian. I'm so annoyed.
Go.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Go. No, I was just saying, if this was a video podcast, I was fake eating popcorn as you were talking. But go ahead.
Yeah, because it's fucking bullshit and you don't deal with a lot of it. And I will say, as CT said in a clip for the preview of next episode, if people are talking shit about you, you're doing something right. And normally I take that approach and I laugh at all this shit. But this person, who I'm not even going to give name credit to, said that all I do is hate the show. And I just want to say, go back one fucking episode, sir, and listen to me literally like break all the furniture in my room about how excited I was about the episode. So I can't stand you either. Like Jeff Probst, I have nothing for you. Please stop listening to this immediately. For everyone else, thank you so much for your 5-star reviews. They're amazing. So I just want to say thank you to Izzy6386. And I'm going to pull up the other ones now. And again, I will take your good with the bad. I don't care. But if it's just markedly untrue, and I've had 3 classes and just squeeze this in between meeting with a professor running here to prioritize the show, I will literally shit on you. If you're going to maybe employ me in the future, please turn off the podcast before I said all of this. Anyway, thank you again to Podcasting Addict, who said something dickish about me but gave us 5 stars, so no problem. And DFB9390. And I think I thanked Too Late Larry last week, but as you said, if it's on the cusp, I may thank you twice. And that's it! Mic drop out!
You've now scarred me from asking anyone ever again, how are they doing? Because I'm so afraid I'm going to get something like that again coming right at me.
Well, say some bullshit like that. That's helpful, Brian. I'm sorry, but this, it's just like when it's untrue and I'm tired and it would be so much easier to just stop doing this podcast, I can't take it. I'm just not gonna.
No, just shoot them down. If I had if someone say something mean about me, I'll rip them apart too. I love ripping people apart. It's the best part
about
this.
I am not ripping people apart who said something mean about me. I'm ripping someone apart who said something untrue. If it's mean, go for it. If it's untrue, I'm gonna say something. Actually, I'll never say anything again, so don't try to bait me to talk about you. I won't.
It's an alternative fact. Alternative fact world.
I mean, whatever. Anyway, my fellow lady podcasters know what's up. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. I love the episode, and I think we're on the same page with that. That's where you started, and I heard that you love the episode, so I'm on the same page. I loved it.
It was a great episode, a real return to form. We saw all of the beats I want to see, and some beats I didn't expect to see, and happy we saw.
We still haven't had any type of interaction outside of the house / challenge, so maybe they're not allowed to go to any type of club wherever they are. It seems like that's not happening.
Do we remember where they are? I can't even remember.
I want to say, not Dominican Republic, because where was that?
Are they in Thailand?
Yeah, because they did something in like that temple place. So where's that?
I want to say they were in Thailand. Who can say? Either way.
Probably Thailand. I don't know.
Yeah, I will say I did have like a complete panic attack. Like, you know, if you don't prepare for class and you have a test, or if you don't prepare for like a presentation and they're like, Brian, you said you were going to present today. Literally, I saw the next week on and thought it was a previously on from the DVR. And I was like, holy shit, I missed an episode. Like, I can't do the show in the amount of time I told you I could.
Well, that next time on is basically if you miss that, you like miss the whole season. They showed the whole season coming up.
No, this was last week's. Like, they played the episode last week and my DVR caught like the tail end. And it was like Challengers elimination. And I was like, wait, I didn't see that.
Gotcha. But yeah, this was, I mean, it starts off with a little skinny dipping in the pool. Okay, nothing wrong with that.
I can completely relate to Camilla's sentiment of why are there no cute boys around? I've asked the dean of admissions at Michigan the same thing, Camilla.
But what's so weird is that she followed up in the next sentence saying, oh yeah, but Corey's super cute. So I guess there's one.
Well, was that in the pool or was that like a juxtaposed
I think it was
confessional.
In the pool. I think it was in the pool and then they, okay. And then it was in the confessional. Have they had a history? They discussed like they had a history. Have anything ever happened between them?
I mean, that was a sexual attention usually means nothing's ever happened, but you're reading into the fact that something might happen.
I guess
people don't usually have sexual attention with someone they've hooked up with and they describe it as that. Like they don't have a history that we've seen.
Right. I just don't remember them having any type of conversation ever.
Someone corrected us from a while ago that like we talked about all of Corey's escapades. Which I will say at a job interview and they played my podcast during the interview and it was when we were talking about people hooking up. So that was great.
That's straight hireable stuff.
We left Anissa out in that, but we did not leave Camilla out to my knowledge.
I'm just trying to block out the Anissa part. That's probably why.
Although I will say now I'm also just trying to yell so that Scott can somehow turn down the audio of everything. So it doesn't sound like I was yelling in the beginning. Camilla is known for the secret hookup, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean, her hookup with Bananas was secret back in the day, so.
That's what I'm alluding to.
Mm-hmm. Kara's not looking for, she's not looking for any type of hookup. She's straight on the straight and narrow, because Tom is not there, so nothing's going on with her.
Yeah, that was amazing trolling by the editors to say, to be like, she's like, I haven't been with anyone since Abram, and then they show the clip where Abram's like, oh, you effed another dude.
I love the P.S. I've been hooking up with other dudes.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
use
that
P.S.
was,
in my life more often. P.S. is a great, like, subtle jab at someone.
It's like very 2001 called, like the invention of AOL called. They mm-hmm. want their burn back.
It's retro.
It is retro. You're a retro kind of guy, I guess. Abe is definitely a retro guy.
Oh, absolutely. He definitely
he's
still
like
says,
Stone
like,
Age.
Yeah, he says not jokes and all that stuff.
I will say, back circling back really quick to Corey, I'm just like on one right now. Circling back to Corey, I would not, Camilla might have been like third to last in my hookup poll from last week, or his hookup poll. Like I just didn't see that coming, and I just wanted to allude back to the hookup poll. I'm kind of disappointed that he didn't take like audience suggestion.
Yeah, that's disappointing. They should have had a way to like retroactively add that into like a confessional, be like, oh, we polled the producers and here's who we thought you should hook up with Corey.
If they ever, can you imagine if they ever did like a second chance Survivor style where like, you know, that you're going back ahead of time and America knows. So you could be like, what do you want me to do inside the house? Like retweet for hookup with Camilla, favorite for hookup with CT. Let's really shake things up.
Or just make it straight Big Brother. Let's get some live feeds.
No, you keep trying to go to the live feeds. It's not the same. That's not the same.
Well, if it's happening live, then it could be like, all right, who should we pair off this week? And then you could actually vote on Twitter and all that.
We shall see. That may never happen, although who knows? Who knows what's happening in the world? I'm very stressed out and thrown off for a change.
So what do you make of Ashley going weirdo on Hunter? Wendy Jong says it better, where she says, what do you make of the Ashley Hunter Kara triangle in Ashley's head?
That's amazing. I normally I hate that if I did X, I would apologize, because it's like totally invalidating when normally someone says, if I thought you should be upset, then I'd apologize. This is the one scenario I could think of where that's completely appropriate. Like Hunter did absolutely nothing. If anything, he like insulted Kara throughout the whole time. In a playful way, but like he insulted her and he should say, if I were doing anything, I would apologize. However, you have made this up completely and therefore I can't apologize.
Yeah, this was like a great episode for flashbacks, because the flashback of Ashley flipping out on Nicole in the bathroom, I kind of forgot about that and how ridiculous that whole situation was. And that was great. It's a shame they weren't like out and drinking more, because that would have been this all over again. It just so happens they were just, you know, chilling in the house, so it was a little more laid back.
I agree. I was like very thankful for the reminder, but I also like thought she did a pretty good job of getting sufficiently pissed off at like where she was. Like to say you're a piss poor excuse of a man after this was like beyond shots fired, bazookas fired.
out of just maybe jokingly flirting as a piss poor excuse. What happens if you actually cheat on Ashley? She just murders you, I guess, right? Just straight up.
Literally, that's going to be serial season 3. I will say though, like, I don't interact often with Southern men, but I imagine saying they're a piss poor excuse for a man cuts a Southern man much more deeply than it does the people I'm usually around.
Oh, yeah, that cuts to their core.
I imagine. I don't know. Anyway.
So
sorry
what
for the burn, Southern men. I don't hang out with you.
What part of a man's leg do you find the sexiest?
That was incredible. Legs are non-gendered, man. I think he's like a quad guy for
straight
everyone, potentially.
Yeah, he likes that hamstring stuff. That gets him going.
Yeah, I bet during the guy's elimination, he was like, wow, great use of hammies right now. Oh, God. Okay, well, Brian is dead. Ashley got him.
I was about to start talking, and a fly just flew right into my mouth, and I swallowed it.
Ugh. It's karma for not backing me up at some point many times.
Man. All right, I'm back. I had like a whole joke about Dario with chickens, and he's always go for the leg, and now it's like dead. It wasn't that great of a joke anyway, so I could skip past it.
What's a song where it's like, I don't know why she swallowed the fly, perhaps she'll die? Do you know that like children's song about everyone dying?
I think it's an Ally Lasher original.
No, it's not. That's a Brian in the Clouds original. This is like a real children's song. That's like, there was an old lady who lived in a house, and then she swallowed a fly, and it's like, I don't know why she swallowed a fly. Perhaps she'll die. And then it's like the cow who swallowed the goat, who swallowed the frog, that swallowed the fly. And I don't know why she swallowed the fly. Perhaps she'll die. Like, and it's like a whole family food chain of fun. And it's like a turducken song.
A food chain of fun where a girl might die. That sounds like a kid's song. I've never heard of one.
I think you're really underselling the reference to a turducken. I think that like perfectly explains the song.
Sure. We can go with that.
Anyway, well, all right. I'm sweating. I'm not really, but it felt appropriate. Okay. All right. I think you must have been Team Laurel in this whole Jenna Zach scenario, correct?
Absolutely. Laurel's been great this year. She's so level-headed so far.
Wait, last night I was talking to my friend and I said something like, I know it's shocking, but I'm not a mean person, or I know what you think, but I'm not a mean person. And he was like, wow, that's your catchphrase. And I was like, funny you should say that. I'm getting a facial tattoo from the challenge tomorrow.
Yeah, you can come with me. But yeah, I mean, she gave her great advice. Just like basically stop thinking about other people and just do stuff for yourself once in a while. Think about yourself. Make sure you're real good.
It was also advice. What's incredible about Jenna here is she's like not fooled by Zach. She's aware of, like, throughout the whole episode, she's aware of all of his like crazy flaws and how poorly he treats her and will treat her after that. You know, she's not under any false illusion that this is going to improve when they leave. Like, when Zach, spoiler alert, leaves, she's like, we probably won't talk. He probably won't talk to me after the show. Like, she's not even telling herself that things are going to be different.
I mean, it's exactly like Jay when the first season of Real, where everyone was telling her, like, be better, Jenna, you could do so much better than Jay. You could be so much better. And she just keeps coming up with excuses to try to stay with people. She seems like she doesn't like change. She just wants to kind of stick with what she knows.
It's that's the first time I think anyone's ever accurately said that Jay and Zach have anything in common.
Yeah.
The way that Jenna reacts to their shitfuckery.
They've also both hooked up with John A, so they got that going for them too.
I love how, and this is, I'm just jumping around because I have ants in my pants apparently. Ashley and Zach, again, I know that people didn't know this. They like hooked up, right? They had a thing. Is that what we were talking about last week that you didn't know?
Yeah, because they dated after or at least after San Diego.
Okay, so Bruno is what people didn't know, but everyone knew about Zach and Ashley. It's incredible that that is not even mentioned at all. Is it incredible? I think it's incredible.
I think it's bizarre. It's very bizarre that of all, like, when they straight up ask Zach, why are you voting for her? And it's not anything to do with, oh, well, she probably still hates me, so I kind of want to get her out of the house.
Well, it's almost like that, but that's a fake response. Like, all it is like, I don't know where we stand. Camilla wouldn't vote me in. But then he cuts to camera and is like, bullshit, she's the weakest. I just didn't want to be mean to her. And when he even reflects on how terrible he was in his relationships, like, she doesn't even come up in the list. I guess the list's too long. She got cut.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like with Kahada and Kellyanne, right? When she was on last year and they just didn't bring that up like at all, because I guess it's just so long ago that they just expect people not really to even know what happened.
That's fair. And I guess Zach wasn't on long enough for it to be. I mean, Jenna right. filled the time. But mm-hmm. every time Laurel says that he completely dropped her and all she did was love her, I think this is the second time they aired that or the second time she said it. It like little pangs, like tiny little arrow pangs to my heart. Like all she did was love him. Mm-hmm. It's like so sad.
America's sweetheart. All she does is love, and all Zach does is stomp on it.
And it's like, it's so true. Like Jenna seems to be like the most loyal, amazing person you could date. And she's gorgeous. Like, I don't understand why he roams, because she seems like pretty stellar. Because
he's the worst person in the world.
Be true. All right. Well, she needs her own dating show.
Jenna for The Bachelorette. Boom.
Jenna for MTV's next challenge spinoff. And then like the guys who come to date her will be able to go on the challenge.
There we go. Love it. And then and Kara can join Ari the One, even though she hates the show.
Also, just PS, this is what always happens when I yell at someone. Like, I always feel bad exactly 15 minutes later. So I'm sorry for yelling at everyone, but I meant it. I just shouldn't have yelled. Anyway, if I had $1 for every time I said I meant it, but I shouldn't have yelled, I would be paying for my law school tuition out of pocket.
That could be the follow up to your first tattoo. It'd be like, I'm not a mean person, but people think I am, and I shouldn't have yelled.
No, I mean it, but I shouldn't have yelled. That's the key. I yeah. meant it is
I
important.
Meant it.
That's gonna be my memoirs. I meant it, but I shouldn't have yelled. The Ally Lasher story.
Put it up on E. A true Hollywood story. Let's do it.
Oh, I'm so screwed if someone listens to this episode that has my life in their hands. Anyway. Let's get to the challenge, besides all the challenges I'm facing right now.
Let's roll with the punches.
But, yeah. Please explain how this worked, because I was watching very quickly on Slingbox, and the connection was uber spotty, and I just didn't want to rewind given the time. So please set this up for me and the listeners who don't watch the show.
Okay, so this one I wasn't even 100% confident what was going on until I think like the last person started to go, and I'm like, oh, now I kind of get it. So each team had a pair up in guy-girl pairs, and they were lined up in these like Donkey Kong barrels up in above water.
That's a great way to explain
it. And try to knock the other person off. And then when they knock the other person off, as many times as they can go around, they keep accumulating points. And then the most points win.
So it was like rotations.
Rotations. Yeah.
Wow. Hearing that, that's what I kind of was. I mean, I gathered. Hearing that, are you surprised that it was such a narrow gap between CT and Bananas? Because it seemed like CT and Shane were driving Miss Daisy, whereas the other two, Zach and Bananas, were like going ham.
Well, here's what I don't know if. Like, I thought you had to knock the other person off until you started accumulating points. So I don't know. The CT getting points while Shane was still on?
Well, didn't they say it was like a three-way tie between
That's what
them?
They said, but I didn't understand how that was true. I thought you had to be like by yourself, because otherwise if Shane was getting points and CT was getting points, then that's just cancel out. But again, I guess CT was getting points for himself. I don't, it was a confusing type thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It depends. If you like develop such a big lead where all you have to do is stay on with the other person to cancel out their points, you can like sustain your win.
Mm-hmm.
That way. Yeah, unclear. I'm sure it's clear to people who are going to write to us, but.
But it was creative. It was entertaining. And I love
I liked the challenge.
They fall hard into the water out of nowhere. Those are always fun.
These falls, I want to say, were some of the most spectacular falls I've ever seen on the show or any show.
Yeah, this is where they thrive with the slow mo. They get you going slow mo, slow mo, slow mo, bam, right in the water. I thought a couple of them were going to get really hurt.
Because they were so jumbled up, like, they fell at angles we have not seen. Like, where you're falling through these big, I was going to say barrels again, like, the big, like, what are they? The bars?
Barrel?
Like, those,
barrel.
No, like, just the pieces, like, just the one thing going across, yeah. Like, the bars. To fall through that upside down, twist over it, try to grab, and then hit the ground, mm-hmm. I mean, superb job. And I even Snapchatted it and was like, me and Conlaw, because it's just like just smashing the water is how I feel. Anyway, I loved it. And that's it. What do you think about Nelson? I mean, I know what you think about this. How effed up and pissed were you when Nelson volunteered himself?
He's just an idiot. I mean, it's just exactly what you would think he would do, right? That he just wants to try to be the hero, except he sucks at everything, so he's going to suck at this. He could have went less, and he would have sucked, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, no surprise there for Nelson. One thing also not a surprise, when Laurel, normally on an edit like this in a show, I'm still yelling, I have to relax. Normally on a show, on an MTV show, when somebody says, I'm going to win, I expect them to lose, except when it's Laurel. Like, we got that soundbite from her of, like, I'm going to refuse to do anything but win. And I was like, okay, Laurel's actually going to win this, which is the complete opposite of how I normally feel.
Laurel's the edit killer. She's like the smart person in school who kills the curve. She's the crazy athletic person who just kills the edit. There's no way to unedit.
Very, very fair. In terms of the Bananas and Kara rivalry, are you, I mean, I hesitate to say, are you surprised? This did kind of catch me by surprise. In the sense that I was like, still? Really?
I mean, it's like, I think it's more exemplified because there's so few of them. I mean, Bananas only would have four people to choose from and really only three people because someone's going to be immune. And he wasn't going to pick Camilla. So, it was just Kara or Ashley. And he had just chose Kara.
I don't mean even in like the choice aspect, but like, just in general and the back and forth between the two of them. And then he, like... And isn't this the same thing that he got on Nelson for last week? Like, Kara's got to be the second strongest girl. So shouldn't you be putting, in that sense, your, like, strength of your team in front of your personal vendettas or your alliances?
Probably, yes. But I think he also feels that they're still strong enough to win without her. But, I mean, that's a good point.
But the gap between Camilla and Ashley and Kara is so wide.
It is very. It is. I mean, that's a good point, but it's not like this is not a rarity for Bananas to be hypocritical. So
no, definitely not. But I'm just because then on the flip side, when I like think about these things before the show or during the show for the podcast, on the flip side, it's like Kara, like you look at the other team and it's like, oh, do you really need like. Do you need Kara in the grand scheme of things? Because there's the gap is wide between them, but the gap between Ashley and Camilla and some of the girls on the other team is even wider. So maybe it doesn't really matter. Maybe your ego is more important.
Yep. And I would say there's a pretty good chance that at some point Kara will be in a position of power to throw it back as opposed to like, you know, Amanda or something like that.
Right. No, very true. I'm exhausted. I've really tired myself out here very quickly.
So, speaking on the end of the challenge, Randy Nupalas, why was everyone acting like Bananas made some huge move out of extreme foresight? If they are taking your best time, then of course you want to go twice. Seems ridiculous when Zach said Bananas was thinking two steps ahead, but no one accused Zach of being smart.
I mean, by thinking at all, you're thinking two steps ahead of Zach.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty impressed with Bananas there because I even thought he could just say, hey, guys, like Laurel and I went first. We didn't get to perform. We could do better than that for the team. Or like we went first, so it'd be fair if we went. That would have been fine. I think his argument was even better. Like, I thought that was really quick thinking from Bananas to get over that. I'm really shocked that the rest of the team let him do it that easily.
Yeah, especially I feel like someone like CT or Carl would be like, wait, this doesn't seem... this is not exactly the best for me. I was surprised that it was just like, all right, can I go again? Yeah, sure, go ahead. And that was just the end of it. There was no real back and forth. Instead of like Zach suggesting to do rock, paper, scissors, and then that fell across quickly.
I really wouldn't be surprised though if CT's mindset was, I know I did better than Darrell. I have good relationships with the girls voting. Why exert myself or why risk ruffling any feathers?
That's probably fair. That's fair.
I love his lazy approach.
He may have thought he could have. Maybe he thought he did so well that there was no way he could be beat. Also, I don't know. Especially because they didn't say like how many points anyone got. They just declared who won and everything.
One thing I will say with Shane and CT, do you think that them kind of it looked like collusion a bit? You know, pretty league fans or people who know words. It doesn't all have to be TV. Was that because Shane and CT have a good relationship, or you think Shane would have CT would have been doing that with anyone?
I think the relationship definitely helps. I mean, they go back a ways, and they, at least they don't have any animosity towards each other. And it kind of if the rules are that you don't have to knock the other person off. It's kind of beneficial for CT not to try to get into a battle with Shane. If they're just helping each other, helping him accumulate as many points as possible, then it's beneficial for him.
Well, it's just 0 points. It's you don't let the other team get ahead.
Right, but you could get ahead yourself, which would help you become safe.
Right. So. Yeah. One thing I did notice that's probably stupid. I meant to look up her name. I can never remember her name. Who's the point blank period on Are You the One? Alicia? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, she sucks.
So Nicole and Nelson did the same handshake as she and Eddie do on the show. The like three slaps salute. And I was like, is this just like a handshake going around that I'm not familiar with?
Yeah, I think that's a thing. I don't know where it's from, but I'm pretty sure it's a thing.
I'm learning a lot on these podcasts, I gotta tell you.
The boom, 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 boom.
That another made for excellent podcasting.
A very bad audio demonstration, but.
Anyone else stand out or surprise you? I mean, Hunter seemed to do the best for the underdogs.
I was surprised really no one other than Laurel did well for the girls, it seemed like. Like, every time they were just boom, boom, done.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, it's not surprising because it's Laurel, but it is kind of like upsetting the girls couldn't get it together. I wonder if it's because guys are bigger and they set the pace, so you're already moving faster than your limbs maybe allow. I don't know if there's something there or not.
Yeah, I think
or not.
Mike Bloom asked if longer legs played like a huge part of it, and I guess that's possible.
I mean, you see Hunter, though, who's not a taller guy, but I imagine he's taller than a lot of the girls. Who knows why this seemed to favor... Or men seem to do better in this, but again, like kudos to Laurel.
Whoever would get into the rhythm first kind of just took command. So you're kind of a little behind and you just fell in quickly.
It made for great Snapchatting, though, because I just knew, like when I just waited for the start, I didn't have to pause or anything or go back. I just waited for it to start, hit the video, and in 3 seconds, somebody was in the water perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, ladies.
So Laurel and Bananas win. Laurel sends in Zach, and then we get a great flashback. An amazing flashback of Zach dying on the mountain. Never gets old.
I think this is the moment everyone's been waiting for because they really set up Zach to be full of himself and everyone was getting pissed off. And I imagine we didn't get the flashback then because they knew it was coming now.
Yeah. Felipe Chamon said, how happy did it make you to see the editors insert that clip of Zach from Free Agents? And it was great. They didn't sugarcoat it at all. They didn't try to make him look good. It was just, Zach, you sucked.
Yes, very true. One thing before we're talking about it now, so before nothing, one thing right now. The champions win this one, unsurprising, but do you think we're going to see a pattern where subconsciously the motivation to avoid elimination individually makes the team up for elimination stronger, even though they still have the money incentive? So I'm not saying they have nothing, but like, that going home puts a bigger, you know, pep in your step as opposed to what winning money but being safe would.
I think it has to add a little extra adrenaline, especially, I don't know why they added this twist in for the champs where whoever like the two winners are were safe, but that,
what the hell was that?
I don't know why they changed the rules there. That was super bizarre, but adding that especially I think would add a little extra adrenaline for each individual to go a little harder.
Do you think that's something we're going to see change a lot, or you think they're just like, all right, we're making them immune moving forward? Because they didn't have to. It's not like Ashley or Dario went in last week, so they didn't, if they changed their mind, let's say after a week,
right,
it's not like they had to show us that. They could have just showed us, pretended like they were immune, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe they just felt that since the champs have so fewer but it was almost the opposite. Like, if you have fewer people, wouldn't you want more people on the block to potentially be voted in? It was just a matter of two people. So yeah, it was very weird. I don't know why.
Where's your tinfoil hat, Brian?
I mean, tinfoil hat could be like the TJs just forget to say that last time and they just didn't go back. Correct.
Tinfoil hat is they're protecting Bananas and or Laurel. That Bananas would be immediately sent in potentially. I don't know why, but, you know, whatever, who knows who the house. I don't really think so with the makeup, but.
That's if he won.
Did Bananas not win? Did I
miss
something?
Like, he could have. I mean, if he didn't win, he still could have been thrown in. Or, like, wouldn't they want to save CT? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not saying I have my tinfoil hat on, but usually when the rules, like, randomly change, people are like, who are they saving? I don't know.
Did they declare that before the challenge started, though, right?
We saw them say it before the challenge started. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It was just very bizarre. It was very weird. That's what it should be. I don't know why it just wasn't that all along.
It does make it more interesting when you see who goes twice, because if they think they're up for elimination, whether they win or not, then it doesn't really matter who wants to get a second chance. Like, do you really want that much control over who goes? Yeah, you do, but not. It's not the same as getting him. Like, I don't know that Bananas would have, or anyone would have worked as hard if they thought they could still go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Because you're just picking the girl. So literally, like, that's the only way, the only motivation really to win this is to be immune. Because who wants to put blood on their hands on a team of, like, you know, eight people who are all sort of friendly with each other besides Kara and Bananas?
And then if you win it, then it's down to six people and it's just basically like, all right, they're one person to target. So.
Right. So that was dumb. And that's it. What do you think of Kara cutting off Bananas' speech?
Did that start happening last season too? What was the season
just
when Devin
it,
just started walking
it.
Up? Was that last year?
That was Rivals.
So that was last year then, right?
Yeah, with Cheyenne.
So that's become a thing.
I mean, I don't know that it's the same, because he starts with, like, no love lost, and it's like, yeah, cut him at the knees at least. Like, don't let him get the satisfaction of it, more airtime.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll go the other way around, too. So.
What do you think of... I think when CT says Camilla, this is where my slingbacks glitch a little bit. Did he just say because Camilla thinks I favor Kara over her, so I'm going to... What was the justification there?
That's what he said. That was also very odd. I thought he would... Like, Camilla's more of the vet as opposed to Ashley, unless he just wanted to make Darrell make the decision, which, I mean, is not the worst idea in the world, is have someone else be the deciding vote. But I literally wouldn't want, like, Camilla on my bad side.
I was going to say, the only reason I disagree is if Ashley wins and comes back, she's not gunning for CT. Camilla, even if she doesn't go in, will never forget this vote.
Yeah, she'll remember this in 15 years during, you know, family edition of the challenge.
Was he trying to say, like, she thinks I favor Kara, so I'll put you both in. Like, you'll both be in, and then I don't favor you. Or, like, if I put Ashley in, then I'd be favoring Kara. I don't understand what that... I think he dad-brained a little bit.
Yeah, that was that dad brain and CT strategic brain, which, you know, two combos is usually not a good thing.
I don't know if you... Did you believe it was Darrell based on performance, or did you think it was, you know, more of relationship-based?
Why Kara and Ashley voted Darrell?
Yeah.
Darrell, up until the elimination, I don't think he'd really done that well. I mean, CT did very well in this past challenge. I don't remember Darrell doing very well in the previous ones. And CT still carries that reputation around of being CT, while Darrell is, you know, as great as he was, he hasn't been on in like 10 years. So who knows exactly how great he still is.
Well, the only thing is like Kara and Darrell were paired for fresh meat. Not that that went very well. But yeah, mm-hmm. A little sad. Mm-hmm. Hurt me. I don't blame them. He did not perform well.
You mean the fresh meat bond from 8 years ago not sticking around is...
You never know. You see you see people make decisions or get offended on these shows based on absolutely nothing, or like, we once made out in a closet and I'm like, can't believe you're married with three kids now and would put me in. Like, it's just like, so the things people hold on to when it's convenient for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Darrell handled it well, so.
That would have been a nice callback to bring up the Darrell and Kara thing, because I kind of forgot about that Kara, that was his partner.
I mean, it was like one episode, right?
Yeah, the first episode.
So what are they calling back to? Like him picking her?
Sure. They call back the weirder things.
Fair enough. Are you surprised at the Zach and Jenna thing, that this hasn't gotten back to Zach yet? Or do you even buy that this wouldn't have gotten back to Zach yet in this house?
It seems unlikely, unless this conversation happened, like this was an out of order conversation and this happened before the challenge and just basically happened right after everything. Otherwise, I don't know how you can go like 24 hours with a rumor flying around this house without it getting back to the main person involved.
The other big news here is Bruno a vegan?
You know, it's a weird move to be like super picky about what you eat when you're on the streets.
Okay, I'm not getting into homelessness, but I will say I recall a fight in the real world house over a cheeseburger. Did that not happen? Or wasn't that what his brother's issue was about? Yeah, like, you maybe. Ate my burger or something?
Maybe that scarred him. You know, he's like, oh my God, I almost lost my brother over this. I can't ever eat meat again.
Well, there are worse things, I guess, to do based on that. So good for the animals.
It's amazing Bruno's had a bigger impact, amazingly, so much more off the show than on.
Do you think this is enough to get Bruno back on the show?
Absolutely. He'll be partnered for X's 3.
Rivals, X's, like, he's really cemented his place in the next season, or just to bait. Just, he's just there for baiting.
Yeah, he must be pissed that if Zach, like, flipped out, it could have been Bruno and Zach for Rivals. Could have had Bruno and Jenna for Nexus. He had so many possibilities of just being eliminated quickly.
Were you, like, surprised at all that this amounted to absolutely nothing, given the 2-episode drum roll we had for it?
It is very odd that Zach didn't flip out, that there's nothing, that it wasn't a long season arc. That's why I thought Zach would win. Like, there's no way this storyline is just ending right now. And then, yeah, it fooled me. I was stunned.
I will say, I thought, wow, for the first time, Zach's like being reasonable when he's like, I can't get mad at you for something you've done before I was here, or even just whatever. And it's like, poor Jenna, that this is how like emotionally manipulated she's been by him, that like she just like lives in fear to disappoint him, even on something that he would not be upset about.
Yeah, not exactly the healthiest dynamic for a relationship to thrive.
But then he undoes the little goodwill he had with me for being reasonable by saying like, oh, she's not upset about this. She's upset that I might leave. And it's like, don't flatter yourself, brah. She was crying last week, too.
Well, I mean, that is right.
But what do you mean?
She was upset that he would leave.
Right, but I thought he meant leave the show.
Yeah, like go home.
Right, but like she was legitimately upset about the Bruno rumor because she thought he would be mad at her.
Right, right.
Like, but that wasn't the only reason she was upset about the rumor. He said, like, she's not upset because of that, or what people are saying about her. She's upset because I might go home.
Yeah, I guess it's a combination.
I feel bad for her. I just wanted to, I don't know. What do you think the rest of the season's going to be for Jenna?
I don't know. She needs a cute guy in her life. Come on, MTV, give her a cute guy. we need happy Jenna again.
I don't know if she's going to be motivated. I really do think this is going to affect her on the rest of the show. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if she goes out soon for just even subconscious lack of motivation. Mm-hmm. Like, she almost wants to get home and talk to him.
I mean, this has definitely been the least entertaining Jenna of any season she's been. I mean, we've had just like the one ditzy funny confessional of her not knowing where Thailand was, and after that there's been like nothing. So,
I mean, this is the realness. Like, I've been, I don't want to say entertained, I've been interested in this because it's absolutely fascinating to me that it's not like he's telling her sweet nothings, or he's like saying I was a bad guy and I'm sorry. Like, she has just taken him right back while still acknowledging that this doesn't mean anything for them. Like, I've been, you know, sociologically fascinated by her reaction to this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she hasn't been like living it up by any means.
Mm. No, I mean, she lost Kayla also. She's losing all her buddies.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Who's next? No, is it a curse?
Dance? Yeah, no one to dance in the shower with.
Oh, calling me back to that little wine shelf. I love that. I need one of those in my life full time. I loved this fortress, and I will again give Bananas credit. I know all I do is complain about these episodes. Shocking, I'm giving anyone credit. I will say I loved when he was like, we got a good old fashioned headbanger, kids, as the intro to this good old fashioned headbanger challenge.
Another thing that I don't understand why this isn't a weekly thing. Why are these throwback challenges strictly restricted for the every other week champs eliminations?
See, I like that, though. Why do you not like that?
Because it's not like they're doing these eliminations specific for the people. It's like the people who did this one, like they don't have like a history together doing this one. So why can't they just do these eliminations for the underdogs also?
Because then there's nothing new. Like, I think it's a nice combination. It's a good way to bring back, you know, it's a nice compromise between when they would like shuffle through six eliminations, or you'd only get the same couple of eliminations, to you get your classics. Like, I was thrilled to see this challenge. We all remember it, the many times and iterations they've done it. And to the point where it's almost, my next question for you is this challenge broken? Because you see Darrell and Kara know to let their opponents get tired and then rip it out. I think that's, you know, pretty much now what people are going to be doing. But I also like, I mean, the tuk-tuk one was crazy. Like, I like that they're mixing the new with the old, and we don't have to just relive the same thing, but we get a taste.
I mean, don't get me wrong, this elimination was great, and I actually think all the challenges and eliminations so far this season have been very, very good. But it's like, you're gonna I guess it's kind of like I leave them wanting more, because I am left wanting more, because I also worry about how many champs eliminations there are gonna be. So are we only gonna get like two more of these, and then it's like that's all we get?
So you would prefer to see all repeats and eliminations?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, if you're gonna do this at all, just dive in and be like, all right, we're doing all, like, this is, if you want to beat the champs, you got to do what the champs used to do. So now you have to do all these throwback eliminations or whatever it is.
I mean, I would be fine with giving the champ the under, for that reason, giving the underdogs the classic ones, like exactly what you just said, with the same messaging, and give the champs new ones. But I just think it's like the perfect mix of, just like the season, it's your old favorites with the new stuff spliced in.
So we have like five people say that they want to see the CT Bananas backpack one brought back, but as Edward Moore says, what else do you want brought back?
Well, does, how do they bring back Bananas? Well, yeah, I guess, so like, they'd have to CT guarantee they go together.
Yeah, if you have them in elimination, you kind of have to do that, but other than
c'est
that.
Possible. I want the challenge where they fake them out, like they're going to have to get electrocuted, and Kara's like, well, I put these on my nipples, no problem. And they're like, are you psycho? No, this is not an elimination.
Oh, so you want them to do that, then actually go through doing that elimination?
No. I want them to not do it. I just want like them to see if Kara has the same reaction. Like, let's do it. Since then, I've gotten actually like piercings with like clamps on them ready to go.
They should bring, like, the way they brought back CT for that one, they should bring back Abram and have him the one administer all like the things.
No, that could get X-rated. I'm not interested in seeing that. What about you?
The one that I always found to be my favorite was the one where, I don't remember who did it for the girls, but I remember it was Zach versus CJ, and they had to like run toward each other and then get past each other. And CJ kept like jumping over Zach. That was probably my favorite one.
Yeah, that's what just came to mind also. Yeah. That, like, we're going to see an iteration of that. But we always see that, you know.
They do that,
it's
but
good,
then they've made it, quote unquote, safer by having it more like compact, so you can't like get like a full running start and do all this stuff to kind of keep them away from getting, you know, seriously hurt.
Let's see that with any of the guys on the chat. I mean, that it's just, the thing is, like, these, I almost wonder if they're doing it because these challenges are only interesting. I hesitate to say only, but I'm going to say only because who cares? They're only as interesting as the competitors. And so usually they're only interesting as you get later into the game. So when you have the challenge, the champions, all of these are going to be fire. So you can give them the ones that are basically, here's a stick, fight over it,
right,
and it's incredible television. Whereas if it's like Sylvia v, I'm trying to think of like who, and almost anyone, that's not as interesting.
Yeah. I mean, in 2 weeks when it's the champs again, any combination of the three guys going against each other is going to be electric. And then hopefully we can get Kara versus Laurel. I mean, Camilla, I think she doesn't really stand much of a chance against the other two, I think, in like a physical type thing, but the other I think Laurel Carr would be amazing.
And this is really highlighting what we identified in the beginning, which is like there's a complete deficit of talent on the female champion side.
Yes, very much so.
On the show, I'm not saying there aren't good female competitors. They could have had, people have mentioned them in the comments many times. You know them, you love them, they're not here, they're not coming back. But it is kind of sad because it's like taking, although I think they kind of oversold how well Ashley did in this. Like, Kara did kind of seem to beat her handedly twice.
Right.
But she didn't get totally rocked. I mean, she got rocked, but not like, I don't know. I guess it could have been worse. Well, how do you think Ashley fared in this?
Yeah, I thought Zach put up more of a fight against Darrell than Ashley did to Kara. But, I mean, I'll believe what they were saying more because, I mean, they got to see the full picture. So maybe it was a closer battle than it seemed, but it seemed like Kara, especially in the second round, was just kind of cruised.
Yeah, but then it's almost like are they saying it to pay their respect? Like, you don't know why they're saying what they're saying. Like, Caro just won, and it's easy for her to say, like, girl put up a fight. She's a champion, just like your show said she was.
Yeah. I did enjoy them being asked what they're playing for. I didn't think they would ask the champs that, but they did.
Yeah, any reaction stand out to you?
I mean, Zach talking about Knight was actually kind of touching, because, I mean, obviously, everything that happened with Dion, like, that's, you know, talked about a lot, and rightly so, but I do kind of feel bad that Knight kind of got lost in the shuffle of everything, because, I mean, this is still obviously very tragic what happened to him, and Zach was, like, a great friend, so it was kind of good to see that callback.
I had two reactions to that. The first was same exact as you, like, it's nice that Knight's getting a little bit of a flashback and a tribute. And Zach's always kind of the one who has in the past given him a tribute. But my second reaction was like, oh my God, when CT goes into an elimination, like, he's going to say his son. Is he going to mention DM and I going to have to cry while watching this episode?
Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, that was, I agree. That was a needed tribute. Anytime MTV can kind of throw Knight's memory in here is nice, because yeah, they did kind of shaft him.
I didn't even think about the CT going on about like the DM. I mean, whoever like faces him like, after he goes through that, he must feel like such a shithead. Like, really, he's gonna spill his heart out about his kid and DM and all that, and you have to go try to beat him in this thing.
I'm not sure that CT will, you know, mention him.
Yeah.
Maybe in a confessional. I don't know that it's like CT's vibe, but we shall see. Not that I'm anxious to see CT be up for elimination, but I do love how Kara's like, I'm here for pride. I don't care about the money. And Darrell's like, I like to win money.
Darrell's the best. I forgot how much I enjoyed him. His dry sense of humor has been great so far.
I will say, like, I really watching Darrell whoop Zach in this was incredible. I will say that most of my doubts about older people coming back were that they would not come back. Like, they wouldn't want to, or MTV wouldn't want. We're moving in a new direction. We need people hooking up. Like, that's just not what they're looking for. I am so thrilled. So kudos to everyone who's been demanding Darrell back. Darrell is one in a million. I mean, this was sheer weight alone. Like, your weight matters in this challenge also.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And screw Zach for, like, looking for any way to cop out. I mean, he did give him props, but then he's like, he has more experience moving around. You've been walking on two legs too, buddy.
Yeah. I don't know what he was going on about that. And hopefully now, next time he comes on, he doesn't refer to himself as the most intimidating competitor here. Because, yeah, that is far from the truth.
He was the fourth most intimidating champion here.
Absolutely brutal. I think MTV got a little scarred when they brought Alton back and he, like, basically quit. So hopefully Darrell kind of revitalizes that, and maybe now they'll be comfortable bringing, all right, let's bring back Derek or Mark Long or...
Do you want Derek and Mark Long back?
Definitely Derek. I definitely want Derek back, because he's just a wild card of a character. Mark Long, it's like, I guess so. Like, I'd be okay with it in like a bigger cast, but it feels like the highlight. It's not exactly moving the needle for me.
Bring him back, whatever. I'm not itching to bring him back. Derek, while a vicious competitor, already started to get boring the last time he was on. I'm sorry, I'm gonna get shit for it. That's the kind of shit I have no problem taking. Let's debate it, let's talk about it, convince me, no problem. But like, I don't know. I've always loved Darrell, so it's like I'm hesitant to kind of open the floodgates with him. I think he's uniquely entertaining, even with, you know, his kids and his wife and whatever, his fiance. So I hesitate to say, all right, let's move full speed ahead with every 35-year-old plus veteran who wants to come on the show.
That's fair. That's definitely fair. Case by case basis.
Speaking of pushing 35 plus veteran bananas, I've given you plenty of credit, and now I can giveth and I can taketh away. I can't stand his hypocritical slut shaming bullshit. He is such a like macho a-hole when he's like, all Ashley's been doing is eating raw Dario. Like, literally go F yourself, bananas. I can't even explain how I don't know which frustrated me more, that or the iTunes comment. No, this did more. I thought this is incredibly offensive, and he just gets away with all of this complete macho nonsense.
He's not going to change now. That's exactly who he is.
It's not that I want him to change. I want people to ridicule him. Like, that is not okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, he relies on this low-hanging fruit bullshit when plenty of people were... He was hooking up with people while he had a girlfriend and before. So, you know, step to me, bananas. I'll tell you what's up. That's Dish, it.
That's fair. Dish it out. I don't know if he can take it, but he should take it.
Oh, he can't. He completely can't. Mm-hmm. I actually thought, Ashley, because of not to transition off bananas to the Dario comment, but I was surprised that Ashley didn't win only because now from you told me last week and people sent me the Instagram that Dario and Ashley are still together. So I was like, there's no way their relationship could have lasted based on like 2 weeks together in a house, which is really like 6 days.
Yeah, it offers new hope for all the couples that last for like 2 days and then get sent home. What was it? Who was the one? Who's the Marie? Who was she? Oh, Anthony. So maybe her, Marie and Anthony are together. Who knows?
We hardly knew you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What a callback. I forgot both of them were on the season.
I think they even forgot. So.
Wow. I'm just like stunned by that. Yeah. So great showing. Great showing by Darrell. All of my notes about that are in caps. Can't give enough kudos. My last reaction to it was, any questions? Just like, here, now you know. Like, now you know, Zach. Goodbye.
Yeah, I think CT and Bananas have to be put on notice that it's not whoever goes against him or if they go against each other. It'll be a battle.
I did love, and I wrote this in italics because to capture CT's draw with this, of like, David took down Goliath, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Said in such a like smarmy Boston way. I loved it.
It's also pretty absurd that in any way Zach is a Goliath, but I understand his point.
Sheer size. I mean, it's kind of perfect. No strategy, no brain, just mass.
Yeah. Tipped over. Boom. See you, Zach.
And I love Darrell's little, like, you know, maybe in the water challenges in the air, but you're not going to beat me on the ground.
And yet he still wants that camper, even though he hates the outdoors.
I couldn't even approach that again this week because I was just still so confused when TJ's like, you gotta go camping? He's like, yup, great. Cool chat, bros.
Darrell and TJ camping together, that would be a fun web series.
Oh, God, I can't believe I told people to stop listening to the podcast at the beginning of the show.
It's right. Where we pick up our steam. We go off the rails.
Yeah, well, you know. And also, oh, this is my last thing. If you're going to talk shit about me, get my name right. It's not A-L-Y. I'm not going to tell you what it is, clowns, but it's not A-L-Y.
At least anyway. You're not called brain sometimes.
I wrote that about you, so.
I get called that all the time, don't worry.
You get called brain?
Well, call like type.
Oh, I'm not, okay, that would be amazing. Yeah. Someone looked at your name and was like, hey, brain, could you?
No, that has not happened yet. I need to find a pinky first, and then I could, and that'll work.
As Laurel laments or posits at the end of the episode, it is very interesting that there really is nowhere to hide on this champs team. Not only because of talent, but because of just how few there are of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is like the way their team set up is—it's the equivalent of it's—they're out to the finale already.
Love it. Wow. I do love that.
Hopefully next week is another clean challenge elimination all in one foul swoop.
You mentioned the previously or next week on at the top of the show from this week. I feel like these clips are always more exciting than the season itself because I, and not just in the challenge, but in every single Bachelor, Survivor, whatever, when they're like this season on blank, I'm like, holy shit, I can't wait for all of these moments. And then I get to the end of the season, I'm like, wow, they definitely seem more exciting spliced together.
Yeah, of course. You cut out literally 99% of the fat. They cut out 99% of the fat of the show to form the show. And then they cut out 99% of the fat to form the clip. You're just getting like blood smattered, cries in the air, people freaking out. And that's their clip.
Hookups. Don't forget the hookups. We got our first taste of Nicole and Laurel, which I know you've been waiting for.
Yeah, it's finally happening.
I did not expect, I know you kept saying, like, what's going to happen with them? How are they going to move from Kara to Laurel? What it seems like coming up this season, it does seem like, or at least how they edited it, and we'll see if that plays out, that Nicole starts a little drama between, like, Laurel and Kara that I did not anticipate there would be, like, a bouncing back and forth. I kind of thought it would be, like, a smooth transition.
Let's say this, that'll add an extra little flavor to a Laurel-Kara elimination. Battle for Nicole's heart.
that Kara is quote unquote not interested in.
Right.
The other thing I will commend the editing on is they end up with the, you know, showing like the mountains or whatever for the challenge that smoothly transitions into the start of Stranded with $1 Million. And they did this on, it's like a page out of Bravo's book for anyone who watches, for PBS and anyone else who watches Real Housewives of anything. There was like a brilliant moment on the Real Housewives when they were introducing Vanderpump Rules. And for anyone who has no idea what I'm talking about, we're almost at the end of the episode anyway. There was an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that they had the waiters from Vanderpump Rules like waiting tables at a Lisa Vanderpump event on Housewives, and then they transitioned between the two episodes to keep the audience with the waiters from Vanderpump Rules like leaving the party and going right into an episode of Vanderpump Rules. So they like basically completely tricked the Housewives audience to keep watching, and then all of a sudden they were watching Vanderpump Rules.
That's
and
brilliant.
It wasn't executed obviously as well or as intentionally, but I did think, you know, I was watching the scenes from next week and then I noticed Stranded with $1 Million had started and I was like, oh, that was like a very quick outdoor nature transition. So kudos to MTV.
Yeah, good shot from them. Edit's been strong.
Speaking of Stranded with a lot of money, I have been teasing a one-off episode of that is not really going to come to fruition, but for everyone who has been bearing with my life and these podcasts with Are You the One, I really appreciate it. The Are You the One finale airs tonight. We're recording this on a Wednesday. Because of our desperation to do a podcast with Adam Bongiovanni and Angela Bloom, we cannot make our schedules work until Saturday morning. So we're going to record our finale recap on Saturday. But to entice you to listen and thank you for your patience the whole season, we'll also be talking, shooting the shit about Stranded with $1 Million. So it won't be its own podcast, but you'll be able to get their insight on the season so far, what they've thought of it. And so that should be, I'm really excited for that. You can blame the Northwestern basketball game for one of the reasons we have to postpone it.
Go Cats.
But it may never happen again in my lifetime, so I do have to watch that game and then other scheduling reasons. So thank you for bearing with us with that. Excited to tie up the end of Are You the One.
So what, do they win? Call your shot.
Don't they always? I'm actually a couple episodes behind, like an episode behind, but I assume they do.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah, I think they'll win.
I've been like kind of spoiled. Not to the finale, but like in terms of what's already aired. Like I catch up on Twitter before I watch, so I know that they're like pretty far along.
And they're actually having a reunion for the first time, like ever.
So I'm telling you, MTV is putting money behind the scene. I said that with Rob when we were on talking about Are You the One. Like MTV is really throwing their money behind Are You the One this season.
They are. They're trying.
I'm excited. Should be juicy.
Dun dun dun.
Sorry again for yelling. I can look. You guys don't know this from a production standpoint. I can see like the bars and it's just been me yelling this whole podcast. So I'm in on the joke. That's why I don't mind the bad comments. But if they're not true.
Bars on bars on bars.
I will hunt you down. Just to quote Miss Congeniality. Anyway, I should go.
We'll be back next week for episode 7 or 8, 7. You can subscribe. robiswebsite.com/challengeiTunes. Follow me at @ColinBryan_. Follow you at @LastTweets. Go Northwestern tomorrow/today when you're listening. Until then, have a good one.